Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Forget Me Not by Q.B. Tyler, narrated by Elizabeth Hart and Jeremy York. Prologue. Olivia. Present day. 406, 407, 408. The sound of my heels against the linoleum flooring is all that floods my ears as I walk down what appears to be a never-ending hallway. I pass the rooms one by one, trying my best not to look inside, trying my best to avoid eye contact with all of the families that are waiting anxiously in the intensive care unit to know the fate of their loved ones. I'm not good with tragedy or death or sickness. I'm not good with hospitals. They give me a sense of uneasiness I've never been able to shake. I've been here 10 minutes and I already feel the anxiety crawling up my throat and threatening to expel from me in the form of bile or tears. The agonizing fear had taken a hold of me the second I received the phone call and slowly unfurled in my chest the entire way to the hospital. Mrs. Clark, are you in any position to drive yourself to the hospital? Perhaps you should arrange for transportation? Mrs. Clark? Mrs. Clark? I'd let the phone fall from my fingertips, and it crashed and skid across the freshly mopped marble floors of my kitchen. The breath fell from my lips in quick bursts as I imagined a life without the man I'd known for the past 9 years, the one I'd been happy with for over 90% of them. 409. I stare at the numbers next to the door, holding my breath as I attempt to make my way through the open door when a familiar face comes into view.
Liv.
The sense of familiarity washes over me, giving me a sense of comfort as he walks towards me and shuts the large door behind him. I try my best to see inside before he closes the door, but he pushes me back slowly and guides me to a small bench in the hallway.
Did you drive here?
No, I stammer out as I shake my head. I wasn't sure I could. How? I swallow down the tears. God knows my eyes have cried over this man hundreds of times, but now wouldn't be one of those times. He was fine. He had to be fine, and thus I wasn't about to cry for him now. Not when he'd eviscerated my heart earlier this year. He wasn't allowed to spend another minute holding my tear ducts hostage. My lip trembles, refuting my thoughts, and I swallow down the tears. Ren. I whisper the name of my husband's best friend, Ren Hamilton, who also happens to be the best neurosurgeon in the city. What's going on? He puts his hand over mine, and I watch his eyebrows furrow as he rubs his hand over my bare ring finger.
He loves you so much, Liv. He's such a wreck without you.
I look up from where our hands are joined, where his warm hands cover mine that feel frozen solid. Despite the comfort, I slide my hands from underneath his, and just like that, the tears have dissipated. Yeah, I'll bet. I didn't come here to rehash the details of my failing marriage, Ren. I came here because I was told Bennett was in an accident. I turn my gaze towards the door and speak my greatest fear into existence. He's not going to die, right? Because I clear my throat, trying to dislodge the ball of emotions that has filled the space from speaking those words aloud. He can't die. I bite my bottom lip just as tears well in my eyes. I'm afraid to blink, knowing it will cause one to cascade down my cheek.
He's alive, Liv, but he's unconscious. He was in a car accident and suffered quite a bit of head trauma. Traumatic brain injuries are quite normal in the severity of his accident, but there are some things I need to keep an eye on.
He pulls his stethoscope from around his neck and holds it in one hand as he leans over and rests his forearms on his thighs.
He's banged up, Olivia, but he'll live, if that's even what you would say he's been doing the last 6 months.
He trails off, and I roll my eyes at his obvious attempt to make me sympathetic to our situation. Okay, now is really not the time. I brush my hands down my black pencil skirt and cross my arms over my chest. I'm so not in the mood for this. Is this an ambush about the divorce? Hell, Is Bennett really even in there? I let the morbid thought float through my mind once before shaking my head, knowing that Wren would never do something deceitful like that. He's actually a good guy. The best. And I know he's just being Bennett's best friend, but he's my friend, too.
Then when is the time, huh? You won't talk to me or Liz?
He barks, referring to his wife and my best friend, as he stands up and begins to pace the floor in front of me.
Whatever is going on with him physically will heal. I'll see to that. But his heart won't heal that easily.
His eyes transform into haunted and exhausted orbs with a hint of resentment. Like it's my fault that all of this is happening. As if it's my fault that we're going through this. He cheated on me, Wren. I didn't do anything.
I don't completely agree with that.
He puts a hand up and attempts to silence me.
But I agree his offense outweighs yours, Liv. It was a mistake, and he's been begging you for forgiveness.
And? He fucked some woman. A woman he's still fucking.
He doesn't want her, Olivia. It's complicated.
He snaps as he puts his hands on his hips. His dark blue scrubs are harsh against his pale skin, but bring out the color of his eyes, especially now as they're so dark and angry, they're almost navy. Bullshit. Don't hand me that. He's still sleeping with her, Wren. He's still with her. He sits back down next to me.
He only wants you.
Wren, you need to let this go. Bennett and I are over. I whisper, as I put my hand on top of his, as if he's the one in need of comfort. I look down at our hands again and note the contrast I'm very familiar with. My honey brown skin against his pale. Although my soon-to-be ex-husband was much tanner, with an olive complexion, just the visual causes a flutter of nostalgia. It's 2019, so being in an interracial relationship isn't something that causes much, if any, negative attention. Except when my husband was hit on and women just assumed I wasn't his wife. Or when I was forced to interact with my mother-in-law. But no! Of course she's not racist, because Jennifer Porter has been my best friend since college. It didn't bother me, and Bennett kept her far away from me much of the time. Not to mention his devotion to me was unwavering. He loved me deeply, irrevocably, almost painfully. The threats to our marriage, if you could even call them that, were shot down without another glance. It was obvious he only had eyes for me and wore his ring proudly. He was that way from the beginning. He pursued me for months and convinced me to date him, showing up at my job, sending me flowers, and finding me almost anywhere as if he had a tracker on me. I would have been a little creeped out if it weren't for the fact that his best friend was dating mine. Even still, it was a little creepy. It took all of 2 dates for me to fall. Deeply. And though I tried to play hard to get, I was his from the moment he pressed his lips to mine on that bridge in Central Park. And the way he proceeded to court me the next few months showed he was mine too. We were engaged within a year and married the following. We were that level of happy that people hated. Outwardly, our marriage was perfect. And on the inside, it was just as beautiful. We had passion and love and trust, and I was completely devoted to Bennett Clark. Life was perfect, until everything came crashing down. Chapter 1. Olivia. 9 years ago.
I thought that was you.
I look up just in time to see Bennett-something take the seat across from me at my very small table at the coffee shop just off campus. My textbooks litter the space in front of me as I'm studying for finals, and my laptop is perched precariously in my lap. I pull my headphones from my ears, wondering in what world my appearance gives the impression that I have time for chit-chat, even if the man is unbelievably gorgeous. Piercing green eyes with flecks of honey trace my face. Eyes full of promises, though I'm not sure what they are yet. Effortlessly dressed in a full navy suit that looks like it cost more than 3 months of my rent, This man oozes sex and style and a masculinity that makes my heart race. He's not wearing a tie, and his top button is undone, revealing just a hint of chest hair that I never realized is such a turn-on until this very moment. Bennett, right? I narrow my gaze slightly, trying to recall the last name of my best friend's new boyfriend's friend. My best friend, Alyssa March, is a biology major, and somehow had gotten mixed up with this very young, very cute doctor, Wren Hamilton, at this hospital that she volunteered at to collect the hours she needed for med school. It was all so very Grey's Anatomy. I'd met Bennett in passing one night when Alyssa and I had gone out after class, and said dreamy and very possessive doctor paid us a visit to make sure we were behaving. I rolled my eyes at the sentiment and asked her what it was like having another parent disguised as a boyfriend, and she giggled back that she loved it and made some daddy joke. Bennett, who'd followed in tow, introduced himself and proceeded to stare at me for the remainder of the time, his eyes burning into me over his whiskey like he was a lion and I was his prey, and he was plotting his next move. I knew I looked good that night, in my favorite black dress that hugged my curves as my sleek straight hair cascaded down my back, but the way he went back and forth between undressing me with his eyes and sabotaging any conversation with a guy who tried to talk to me, I'd briefly wondered if he liked more than the way I looked.
You wound me, Olivia Warren.
He smiles, and I don't miss the fact that his smile is quite literally perfect. Straight white teeth and a dimple on only one side underneath one layer of stubble. He nods at my computer and the array of books surrounding me.
What are you studying?
He takes a sip from the paper cup, and I try to ignore the way his throat moves, or the way his Adam's apple wobbles as he swallows. Don't look at his mouth, Liv. I tuck a long curled hair behind my ear, a telltale sign that I'm nervous, and try to avoid his gaze. You can just call me Liv, that's what everyone calls me.
Well, what if I don't want to just be like everyone? Then what should I call you?
He smiles again with a hint of cockiness, but more playfulness, and I'm grateful I'm sitting down, or else my knees would probably buckle. I look away from his green eyes, green, gorgeous eyes that look emerald. I'd never seen eyes that color, and mixed with his tanned complexion, he looked like the Greek god women went on about in romance novels. I was going to bomb this exam if I didn't get my shit together. Statistical analysis, I say finally.
That's what I should call you?
He jokes. I roll my eyes, but I can't stop the uptick of my lips at his corny attempt to be funny. That's what I'm studying, and I have a final in like 2 hours. I blink my eyes several times as if to say, so, bye? He puts his hands up in defeat before running a hand through his thick dark hair.
Fine, I'll let you be.
He pulls his card out from his inside pocket and hands it to me.
Maybe when you're done, you'll call me and we can celebrate you being finished.
I lick my bottom lip and realize my mouth has gotten very dry. I reach for the coffee in front of me and take a long sip. I don't know if tonight will work, I tell him, as I pray that this blow-off will deter him from pursuing me further. It's not that I'm not attracted to him, or that he'd done anything wrong. I just don't date much, and I don't need the possibility of this clouding my head while I take the most taxing final of my college career. He smiles and nods his head as if he hears the implication loud and clear.
You're graduating this weekend, like Alyssa, or not?
Yep. I run my fingers over the indents of the precise block letters stamped on his card. I run my gaze over it and catch his full name. Bennett Clark.
I'll see you this weekend, then,
he says, and my eyes shoot up to meet his. Wait, what? He winks, and then he's gone, leaving me alone with my very confusing thoughts and the smell of the sexiest man alive swirling around me. By the grace of God, I made it through the test because I spent about half of my exam wondering what he meant by his ominous statement. Is he coming to the graduation? To be supportive of Ren? He asked you out on a date and gave you his cell phone number, and you think he's coming to be supportive of Ren? I pondered this all the way home when I spot the pink roses sitting in front of my door. I pick them up as I walk into the apartment I share with Alyssa, pressing my nose into the pale pink flowers. I'm just about to call out for her, as I assume they're from Ren, when I see my name very carefully written on the card.
Olivia, I hope your exam went well. Congratulations on being finished with college. I hope you'll give me a call sometime. BC.
Present day. I'm brought from my thoughts by someone approaching, and before I even look up, my heart sinks and I dig my nails into my palm as I steel myself for my mother-in-law. Rennie! You called her? I groan under my breath as I stand up and wait for her to criticize everything about me. Heaven forbid I stay seated. Dressed to the nines as usual, Caroline Clark glides down the hallway. Her brown hair is cut into a sleek bob, and I know there's not a hair out of place. Bennett's mother exuded style and confidence and is undeniably chic. I always thought she reminded me of Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's. If she didn't drive me completely insane, I'd actually love to raid her closet.
Mrs. C.
He smiles and gives her a polite nod. She doesn't acknowledge my presence when she stops in front of us and fixes her eyes on Ren. What happened to my baby? Is he all right? Can I see him? Her voice is surprisingly calm, though I'm sure she's just building up to the full-blown hysteria.
I was just discussing that with Liv. He suffered some head trauma, more specifically a subdural hematoma, which is a brain bleed.
I immediately prepare myself for the performance that Caroline Clark is gearing up to give. It will be unprecedented, I'm sure. Her hand finds her chest, and then her mouth, and then her chest again. Her heavily made-up green eyes are wide and unblinking as they move to room 409.
Very common in car accidents. Nothing to be alarmed about. We're just going to keep him for a few days.
She sniffles. I want to see my child. Right now. She points at the ground. And I give him a look that says, see what you did? Olivia, I don't know what that look is for, but I'm here now so you can go. I know you may not care, but I certainly do. She says snidely. I care, I tell her. I was still married to him for almost 7 years. Shame, all that time wasted.
Enough, Caroline.
Ren speaks up, and I know that he's typically the peacekeeper and usually polite, so I'm surprised at his comment, although I know that he's very familiar with our relationship. Ren, dear, try to understand my perspective. She left my poor son after she failed to give him any children. She pulls out a compact and dabs at her eyes before sliding it back inside her Chanel bag. Her eyes flit to mine, and for a second, I see a bit of regret over her choice of words beneath her green eyes that match Bennett's. But just as quick as I see it, it's gone, and I'm left with the usual contempt she has for me. God, you're hateful, I whisper. I am sorry your son fell for me. And it's true. I'm sorry. It certainly would have saved me 6 months of what was quite possibly the worst pain I've ever felt. Really, I'm sorry, but we are over. So you're getting your wish. I nod at her.
That's not what Bennett wants,
Ren growls.
And frankly, Caroline, he'd be about ready to throw you out of here for speaking to Liv that way, so cool it.
He rubs at his jaw and shakes his head.
You've become impossible since Mr. C died. And it's awful and sad, and I know you're hurting, but lay off.
Don't be rude, Ren. She glowers at him like he's a child, but Ren stands his own.
Oh, hello, Pot. I'm Kettle, pleased to meet you.
He raises an eyebrow at her as if to scold her right back,
I'm going to take Olivia in to see her husband because that's what Ben would want.
She huffs and rubs her hands down her vintage Dior black dress and sits on the bench.
I'll wait here. If you could bring me some water, though, that would be wonderful. Preferably a Perrier?
I let out a sigh as I follow Rin into the dim, stuffy room. The shades are drawn, and it's nearing dusk in September, which means it'll be dark within 30 minutes. The soft hum of the monitors is the only sound in the room other than my heels clicking against the floor as I move closer to his bedside.
There's a bandage wrapped around his head, a few cuts and bruises on his cheeks, but for the most part, his face is unscathed. I note a nasty burn on his neck, assumedly from his seatbelt, and I wince as I run my fingertips over the skin. Various cuts and bruises scatter his arms, and I'm grateful that he doesn't have any broken bones.
Oh, Clark.
Immediately, my brain recognizes the nickname, and the fact that I haven't called him that in months.
When we were dating, I called him that. And it just stuck, even though I now share his last name. Well, not for much longer.
We thought we needed to intubate him, but he's breathing fine on his own. He's going to be okay, Liv.
I feel Ren's hand on my shoulder.
I'm going to go deal with the Ice Queen out there and give you a minute.
I wait until I hear the soft click of the door shutting before I succumb to the tears I've been holding in and let them slide silently down my cheeks.
I'm so angry at you,
I whisper, grateful to have this time to speak what I'm feeling without his reply.
But you're not allowed to die.
I look towards the monitors that are beeping monotonously. You're not allowed to... I let out a breath.
Well, you left me already, but as angry as I am, I don't want you to die. I want you to be happy, I add.
And that's taken months of self-reflection and meditation and the most expensive therapist in the tri-state area for me to get to this moment.
I want you to be happy, even if it's not with me.
A commotion outside the door has my mother-in-law pushing through the door and Ren shooting me a look.
You cannot be in here if you're going to act like this,
Ren tells her.
I will have you removed.
It's fine.
I wipe my eyes and nose and move slowly towards the door, when I hear my name whispered so faintly. Under normal circumstances, I may not have heard it, but my ears, my body, my heart are so trained to hear this name, I could probably hear it even if he only thinks it.
Livy.
Chapter 2. Olivia. The goosebumps rise all over my arms and legs instantly. That one word, chilling me to the bone but also setting me ablaze. He always called me Livy. It was his thing, and it made me feel special that he called me something no one else did. I swallow hard, turning slowly and meeting those familiar green eyes that I hadn't seen since our last mediation over a week ago. I can't stop the smile that pulls at my lips to see that he's awake and, more importantly, alive. Or possibly because he's staring at me with those eyes I know all too well. A gaze so intense, it's like he's almost afraid to blink for fear that I'll disappear.
Oh my God! Benny!
Our moment is interrupted by his mother, of course, and I blink away from him. To watch as his mother bombards his space and all but throws her body on top of his.
My sweetheart, you're okay. You're alive. I was so worried.
She pulls back and holds his face, doing her best to turn his gaze towards her, but they're still locked on me. I nervously look at Rin, hoping that he'll say something to break the tension, but he just alternates from staring at Bennett and me.
Well? Someone speak? Besides the Wicked Witch of the Upper East Side, that is?
Why are you all the way over there?
He nods at me. I can see the hurt in his eyes and hear it in his question. He winces slightly as he turns his hand palm up. Assumedly, so I'll hold it and I move a little closer to not make the situation more tense.
I guess the man did just come out of a coma.
I suppose I could hold his hand. I slide my hand into his and instantly feel that spark that's never seemed to wane between us. His hand is large and warm wrapped around mine, as his thumb rubs my knuckles gently. I drop my gaze to where our hands are adjoined. How is it that something so simple can have me feeling like the walls are closing in? I suddenly feel too hot, and the energy swirling around me is almost stifling. Even though my heart is broken and my brain comprehends this, my hormones are raging and my sex pulses slightly. It's like my heart and sex are at war with each other over which could beat faster, and right now, my heart is losing badly.
What the hell happened?
He looks at me, his eyes tracing me over.
You weren't with me.
It sounds like a statement of relief, but also a question. I shake my head. I don't know exactly what happened. Ren may have a better explanation.
Right. Car accident.
Ren chimes in.
And we can go over all the details of what this means for you because you did give us quite a scare. But for now, I need you to look into this light for me.
He brushes past me, but Bennett refuses to let go of my hand. His gaze is still fixed on me, despite Ren flashing a small flashlight into his eyes, and tension zips through my body as his green stare into my brown. I feel like I'm starting to get lightheaded by how little I'm breathing. I let out a breath and try to pull my hand from his when he grips it tighter, his eyebrows furrowing deeper.
I need a moment with Olivia.
Ben, his mother starts, and his gaze snaps to hers angrily.
Mother, I'm fine. You can see that. I just need a moment alone with my girl.
Caroline's eyes flit to me, and for a second I peer over my shoulder, wondering if his girlfriend is somehow manifested. I'd kill her. He can't mean me. He must be out of it.
Ren,
he says with as much conviction as he can muster.
2 minutes.
Ren nods as he grabs his chart and takes one final glance at the monitor before ushering Caroline out of the room, much to her protest.
2 minutes, and then we need to run some tests, so don't get comfortable. Not likely.
Bennett grumbles and lets his eyes flutter closed.
Fuck.
He sighs.
Everything fucking hurts.
His eyes open slowly and he smiles again when he meets my gaze. He tugs me gently and the quick movement sends a lightning bolt zipping down my spine.
Are you all right?
He asks as he runs his hand up my arm and massages my forearm gently. What the fuck? You were in a car accident, and you're asking me if I'm all right? I smile despite my discomfort over his touch, and he chuckles slightly before wincing. He lifts his chin slightly.
Give me a kiss.
What? Did I hear him correctly? He looks down at himself and then at me, cocking an eyebrow in that sexy way that used to make me wet instantly.
I was in a car accident. And I guess a coma? Come give me a fucking kiss, Olivia. I'm rather surprised you didn't attack me the second I woke up, but that's why I got rid of my mother.
He licks his lips, and I watch the muscle I used to be very familiar with in fascination until I remember what he's asking. I finally pull out of his grasp, and my expression morphs into irritation. You know what? I'm not doing this with you right now. I'm happy you're okay, but I'm not going to let you manipulate me any more than you already have. I shake my head and run a hand through my mahogany waves. It can't always be about you, Bennett.
Wait, what the fuck?
His face looks like I've slapped him, and maybe I should have left off that last part. I mean, he is hurt, but I refuse to let him suck me into this based on sympathy.
Who's manipulating anyone? Because I want my wife to kiss me?
He glares at me, and I notice his jaw ticking, meaning he's gritting his teeth. I used to say his jaw was so sharp it could cut through glass, and right now it looks like it's ready to cut through me. Don't call me that. I say as forcefully as I can, though I fear it comes out more like a plea.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?